The Lord be with you. Welcome this morning to Hebron Presbyterian Church as we worship the living God. And for this special service of Easter lessons and hymns, we're so glad that you are with us today, especially as we are celebrating the Hebron Day School Sunday. So if you don't know, we have a day school, and that is part of our ministry in helping our community and resourcing our community, a safe place for young minds to grow and learn. Many of the congregation members have had children who have gone through, and there are many alum and current students here today, so we're so glad that you're here to worship with us. If you are a day school teacher, would you please raise your hands? So please, after service, please greet our teachers and thank them for all the work that they do. I see them each week, and some days they're joyfully celebrating learning, and some days it's a little bit of wrangling. But it's all good for the community. I want to invite you after the service to join us in Holman Hall. So that's down the hall and to the right for a time of fellowship and food. There will be cookies and veggies and fruit, and Miss B has a craft for the kids to do. So if you want to come back, please come back and we can greet you more fully. I also want you to know that your children are welcome in worship, but if at any time you need to step out, please feel free to step out these doors and go down to Holman Hall. The service is being streamed in there, so you can still watch and be a part, and there's some activities for the kids if that's what you need, but they are most welcome to stay here as long as they want, as long as they want. Some of you are here because on the flyer I said that there would be a big announcement, and there is. About 24 years ago, a group of Hebron families got together and determined that we needed a new playground space. And that precipitated into the current playground that we have right now. And it has served hundreds of children, community children who come here throughout the week and on the weekends, and day school children who have come through the program. We're pleased to announce, well, after 24 years, it needs a little bit of an upgrade. So today we are kicking off a campaign to build a new playground. James, if you would. Wow. So this is the proposed playground that will be in replacement to the wooden structure that is there now. So today we are kicking off the campaign. I know you have lots of questions about what's coming next, but packets will be sent out both to day school families and to Hebron members, and will be able to be picked up next Sunday too with all the information all at once. So just be prepared. This is what we're looking forward to. In Holman Hall this afternoon after service, there will be a slideshow that has more of the pictures of the proposed playground. And so I would ask that you would even now prayerfully consider what you might be willing to give for this playground. Wherever you've come from today, whatever you're bringing with you, your weeks, joys, and concerns, Jesus welcomes you here as we seek to worship him. Let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Thank you, Marcus, for that beautiful prelude. Please rise as we are called to worship. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah!
This is the day which the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
God's mercy endures forever.
Beloved in Christ, we are gathered here to again hear the story of Easter, to join the disciples in their fear and awe and joy, and to discover our own place in this great story, redeemed from death and unashamed in the world reborn. God in Christ fits us to bear afresh the image of God in which we were made, opens to us the gates of paradise, and invites us to sit and eat with him. For if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has begun. So as we come to the story of our faith, let us first turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, with great power and in glory, you raised Jesus from the grave. Death's strong bands could not hold him. We thank and praise you for the new life given to us in Christ and for all his benefits. Grant, O God, that we would ever be mindful of your grace and blessings to us, that we might live lives of gratitude for Jesus' sake. We thank you especially this day, O God, for the Hebron Day School, for teachers, students, family, and supporters. Prosper the work of the school. Bless the students in their growth and education, and bring us all to a greater love of you, the fountain of life. We pray for all who suffer this day, in body, mind, or spirit, for lives afflicted by war, civil strife, and natural disaster. Bless those, we pray, who devote their time, talents, and resources to relieving need, restoring justice, and promoting peace. We pray for your church, for the ministries of congregations near and far, for missionaries and evangelists, and for this church which you have called Hebron. Grant that we might be courageous proclaimers of the good news, with arms open in gospel hospitality to a broken world. We pray for those who mourn, and we remember those who have died. Grant your spirit of comfort in times of need, instill hope when all seems lost, and remind us again and again of your resurrection promises. Eternal God, you make all things through Christ, and in him have made them new. Remake us, we pray, to bear afresh your image for which you have created us. Make us in this life the faithful gardeners of your reborn world, that we may be ready to live with you through all eternity in the paradise of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our first reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, regarding Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem and the triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, Why are you doing this? Say, The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, What are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming Kingdom of our father David, Hosanna in the highest heaven. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Gospel of John. They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus. Carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, one on either side with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inspiration written and put on a cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews." But this man said, "I am King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says. "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus knew that all was now finished. He said, in order to fulfill the scriptures, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of wine on the branch of a hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Who is this King that reading from the Gospel of Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's been raised. He's not here. Look, there's the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Easter message is one of hope. Hope. Yet this is not some general sense of hope, what we might equate with a wish or a desire. When I was applying to college, I often thought to myself, "Oh, I just hope I get in." Or, I hope I get a good scholarship. That's a general feeling of hope. But the Easter message is not general, but particular, transforming the ways that we live and think. The 20th century theologian Karl Barth spoke of the particularity of this Easter message in a time that it was needed most. The Second World War had left a scar on Europe. The people were worn and weary. James, would you turn up the microphone just a little bit? Okay. Okay. Can you hear me better? The 20th century theologian Karl Barth spoke of the particularity of the Easter message in a time when it was needed most. The Second World War had left its scar on Europe. The people were worn and weary. For so long, death was hanging over their heads. So now, as the war was ended, they looked to a future uncertain of what was to come. And so to these people, Barth spoke of the hope of Easter, and he said these words: "In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the claim is made, according to the New Testament, that God's victory in man's favor, in the person of his Son, has already been won. Easter is indeed the great pledge of our hope, but simultaneously this future is already present in our Easter message. It is the proclamation of a victory already won. The war is at an end, even though here and there troops are still shooting because they have not heard yet of the capitulation. The game is won, even though the player can still play a few further moves. Actually, he has already made it. The clock has run down, even though the pendulum still swings a few times this way and that. It is in this interim space that we are living. The old is past. Behold, it has all become new." The Easter message tells us that our enemies, sin, the curse, and death, they are all beaten. Ultimately, they can no longer start mischief. They still behave as though the game were not decided, the battle not fought. We still must reckon with them. But fundamentally, we must cease to fear them anymore. If you have heard the Easter message, you can no longer run around with a tragic face and lead the humorless existence of a man with no hope. One thing still holds, and only this thing is truly serious: that Jesus is the victor. That Jesus is the victor. A seriousness that would look back past this, like Lot's wife, is not Christian seriousness. It may be burning behind, and it is burning, but we have to look not at what came before, but at the other fact, that we are invited and summoned to take seriously the victory of God's glory in this man Jesus, and to be joyful in him. Then, and only then, may we live lives of thankfulness and not in fear. These words hold true for us just as much as they did for Barth all those years ago. The world may rage around us, sin and death may try to shake us, but ultimately they stand defeated. Jesus is the victor, so let us live lives of thankfulness and praise. Let us pray. Eternal God, we praise you that your glory has dawned on us and brought us again to this day of resurrection. We rejoice that the grave could not hold your Son, and that he has conquered death, risen to rule over all the powers of this earth. We praise you that he summons us to new life, to follow him with joy and gladness. By your Spirit, lift us from doubt and despair and set our feet in Christ's holy way, that our lives may be signs of his life and all we may have now would be an instrument to show forth his love. Praise, glory, and thanksgiving be to you, our God, now and forever. Amen. I'm going to invite the Hebron singers, I'm calling them the day school singers, forward, and Miss B will lead us in our offertory song. And while we're doing that, we will collect our offering. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So let us offer our life and labors to our gracious God.
Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, you give us gifts in abundance, from the very breath we breathe to the resources we have, and even the songs of children. And so we thank you, our God, for your gifts of abundance, and pray that this that we have offered, and even our very lives, may be to your glory and praise. Help us to steward them wisely, as we seek to proclaim the good news. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now I should remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which you are being saved. If you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to someone untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have already died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we of all people are to be most pitied. But the fact is that Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have believed. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all in Adam die, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, all those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed then is death. For God has put all things in subjection under Christ's feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that this does not include the one who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who put all things under him, so that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Christ has arisen, alleluia.
reminder to please join us after worship in Holman Hall. That's down the hall and to the right for cookies. I know that's why most of you are going. For cookies and treats and good time together. Jesus is the victor. The world may rage around us, death and sin may try to shake us, but we have the good news that the victory is won. So go from this place and live in joy and in thanksgiving to our redeeming God. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, always, forever. Amen.